You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network.
Hi, everyone. I am Martina Cunha, and you're listening to Backstage Talk. Welcome back to another episode of Backstage Talk. Today, I have the privilege of having Kevin Ray Johnson over. Kevin is a singer, actor, rapper, writer, and director who is in New York City based. Since 2018, Kevin has been featured well over 170 artists and counting for his interview series on Onstage blog. His performing credits include being the standby in the Grammy Award nominating Gershwin Porgy and Bess from the Met Opera, King Lear from the Royal Shakespeare Company, Merrily We Roll Along from Astoria Performing Arts Center, the Love Note musical and original off-Broadway cast, and many, many others. Mm-hmm. Kevin, thank you so much for being here. Welcome to Backstage Talk.
Thank you so much for having me. Appreciate it.
How are you? You just told me off mic that you just came back home from doing a show. How was that?
Show was good. It was Oliver at the Myers Dinner Theater. I played Bill Sykes. So, like, you know, it's always fun to be a villain. But yeah, the show, like, you know, ran really, really well. The cast was, you know, wonderful. And it was an all-around great experience. So.
Oh, that's cool. That's cool. Yeah. How was your experience doing a show? Like, I guess this is the first show you've done during or post pandemic. So how was that?
Actually, this is the third show. Ooh. I've done. Yeah. All the shows I've done have been at Myers Dinner Theater in Indiana in the last year. I had the chance to play Little King Triton and Little Mermaid last summer, mm-hmm. and things like that. And then I came back for their Christmas show, and then I was asked back again to do Oliver. And In the first show, you it's a little nerve-wracking because the entire world is at a panic.
Yeah.
But then when you come to this town and you realize, like, you know, it's a population of like almost not even 1,000. I think it's like 600, things like that. Like when I was telling people, I was like, it is very easy to social distance in this town. I was like, when you come, you'll completely understand it. So it was nerve-wracking, but then it got a little easier and easier because, like, you're kind of in your own bubble and, like, mm-hmm. it's just, yeah. So yeah, it's been pretty cool. It's been pretty cool that, like, that Jeremy Little John has given some artists an outlet to do their craft during this time.
And it's good. It's good to have, like, some sort of sense of normalcy and of life pre-pandemic. So you've been very fortunate, and I'm happy that you've done these three shows.
Yeah.
I want to go back to the beginning.
Okay. Let's do this. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, your story from the beginning. How did you know that you wanted to work in musical theater?
It's two different moments in my childhood. I remember my mom ran a theater company called Miss Mary's Playhouse, and they were doing a musical called Pearly. And it's an all-Black musical. And the first song in the second act is a song called The First Thing Monday Morning. And I just remember hearing these booming baritone, powerful voices on stage and just being like, just enthralled by, amazed by it and things like that. I was like, this is so cool. So, like, that was like the first time where I had like a little bit of like, I kind of want to do this. Theaters was always in my life as a kid. Like, I was always doing shows and things like that. But it sounds crazy, but, like, I knew I really wanted to do this when I was in my show choir in my high school. I don't know. It's just, like, this, the whole, like, you know, putting, like, you know, a set list up, or, like, when it comes to our show choir songs and just putting the rehearsal process and stuff like that. I don't know. I just was like, okay, I can do this. I can do this for a living. Because, like, I was a guy that was into sports and things like that. But, like, I really, in high school, that's when I was like, okay, this is what I think I want to do. I didn't really talk much about it, but I was like, I think this is really what I wanted to do. And, like, I'm thankful that I made that choice. So, yeah.
I love it. So that was in high school. Then how was your journey all the way to where you are now? Like, which was your first show? How was that audition process for you?
Okay, now this is where I guess where it's going to get interesting. I work with kids now, and I work with some kids at a company called Rise Above Performing Arts, and I've actually told them this story. So like when my first like show, like I did a lot of shows, you know, I did Beauty and the Beast when I was younger. I did a lot of things like that, but like my first show, my for real show, was when I did Oliver in college, my first year. I was in the ensemble and things like that. And I remember just, you remember that moment when you get the theater bug, the theater bug bites you. Just everyone has that moment. I think that's when it, and I remember going up to my director, and this is like, not to like, I'm not gonna like, you know, say their names because I got love for them, but I went up to my director and I was like, you know, I would love to do this for a career. I would love to play Bill Sykes one day and things like that. I would really love that. And they said to me, you'll probably never have a career in this. And I know, like I said, it's a shocker, but like, here's the thing about it. Like, that was many years ago. It's over. Like, but like I remember like them telling me like, you're probably never gonna have a career in this, but you know, you might get something out of it. So just, you know, have fun and things like that. When that happened, I was just beyond hellbent on proving all the naysayers wrong. So in my 20s, I just did as much possible theater Martin as I could, as much as I could. And if I was not in a show, while I was in a show, I was in rehearsals for a next show. It'd be a community theater, dinner theater, professional theater, no matter what level, professional, you know, children's theater. And the one thing that I did benefit from that is that it made me realize, like, you know, no matter what show you're in, if it's Broadway, the Met, or if it's a hole in a wall cabaret theater, you treat it all the same. Mm-hmm. And so, yeah, like for my 20s, I was just constantly going, constantly on cruise control, just constantly going. And like in my 30s, I started to slow down and things like that. But like the one thing I always tell kids nowadays, because of that journey, which I'm thankful for, is I don't recommend anyone doing that. Because like when you realize, like, you know, theater can consume your life. And like, you know, and when it comes down to it, I was so driven on having a career and proving people wrong that I forgot. I missed out on a lot of things. Mm-hmm. I missed out on just, you know, pretty much a normal college life, you know, like, you know, hanging out, having friends, parties and things like that. Cause I was so focused on theater and things like that. Like, and like, even in my late 20s, I missed out on weddings and things like that because I was always focused on theater. So I tell people, I was like, please, this is what you want to do, go all out, go all in with it. But don't do what I did. And not to be a sad story, it's just like that's kind of been my journey, you know. And then in my 30s, like, you know, things start slowing down, and I just start realize, like, you know, you don't have to, you can slow down and you can make choices and control your narrative and your career and things like that. And that's just pretty much what I did for my 30s. So that's been my journey, just like, you know, doing a lot of theater, trying to perform as much as I can, and like always finding good out of it, but also something to learn from it, you know. So I hope that, yeah.
And in that order of ideas, which have been the biggest lessons you've learned through all this hectic journey for you?
You said, what's the biggest lesson?
Yeah.
The biggest lesson is that realize that this industry has a lot of opinions, and you have to, like, you cannot compare yourself to how anyone else's career is going, and just know that everyone literally has a chance to excel and to make it in this career. The reason why a lot of people don't is because they can't stick it out through the bad times. And like, you know, there are going to be, everyone goes through dry spells, but like, you know, just stay the course and to stay true to who you are, and if you do that, you will find success. No matter what level it is, it could be Broadway, it could be regional, you will find your success. So like you know, all the success and stuff is just pass hard, if that makes sense, you know? So, yeah.
I love it. Which have been the favorite memories of shows you've done? Because you just said that you did a lot. And I love this full circle moment from Oliver playing in the ensemble to a couple of months ago, you playing Bill. So I just love that full circle moment. But which have been other of your favorite memories from shows?
Favorite memories? I'm going to have to, I mean, number one with the bullet has to be Porgy and Bess. Just being a standby in the show, it gave me the opportunity to learn the show in a different way, because your number can be called at any time, type of thing with opera. And like it was just a great way to learn the show. And also it's just because like it felt the cast really connected and really bonded. There was a lot of them. Like the cast was big. It had to be like 40, 50 people in the cast. But like every single time we were to do a show, we were about to do a show, it felt like, you know, just friends catching up before the show. We were saying, hey, good to see you, things like that. And everyone, I don't think I met everyone in that cast was really nice. And like there's a difference between like, you know, professional nice and, you know, you're putting on a good face. Like they were all genuinely very nice. Mm-hmm. And like they were all very talented. And there are moments in the beginning where I'm like, why am I in this room? I'm not worthy. But then like, you know, that cast like will definitely make you feel like that. I'm even talking about like, you know, Angel, our best. Her name is perfect because she's a complete angel and things like that. So yeah, that's and the other memory I would probably say is I've done Next to Normal 4 times, and each time I've done it, it just is such a journey, and it's just, it feels like such a sense of accomplishment. So like I think though those are probably like the two ones that stick out to me the most, because like all my Dianas were like amazing. My first Diana's name was Jamie, second was Denise, and then Jessica, and then Lauren, and they were all just so wonderful. So those are probably the two main ones that stick out to me.
Yeah. I love it. I want to turn now into Onstage Blog.
All right, yeah.
Because it's a huge site. It has a lot of writers, a lot of contributors, and you're always on point on news. So talk to me a little bit about this project.
Well, I joined the Onstage Blog family, I think about 3.5-4 years ago. And like Chris Peterson is just someone who I followed since the beginning of Onstage Blog. I really appreciate that he is someone who will speak up on topics that need to be spoken up on. Mm-hmm. And for me, like, I think it's also hilarious, like the people who get mad at him, who like have talked to me about it, of some things he talks about, then those are the same people who want to reach out to me when something happens to them in theater. I'm like, clearly Chris and Onstage Blog, we're doing something right when people feel like they need to come to us first when they hear about an issue. I first wrote, there was two articles that I wrote in the beginning that like I just, things I wanted to get off my chest, and one of them was an article that like kind of went everywhere, which was like, stop asking performers to talk blacker during auditions. Like when I wrote that, I just was almost venting a little bit, and then that was the first time I ever saw something I had like go viral, and I was just like, oh, it feels good that people can connect to this. And at the same time, it kind of sucks that people can connect to this, you know? So like, but then after that, like, I really wanted to get into like, really want to learn more about journalism and like, interviewing people and things like that. Cause mm-hmm. I always find interviews very fascinating. And like the one thing, like I read this interview on this website, and I just remember thinking like, you know, I'm going to like, what do I know about journalism? But I was like, I would have asked like different questions. You know, this is the first time I was like, oh my gosh, this reporter asked all the wrong questions, you know, especially for like, you have this Broadway performer who like had like, I think it was like 10 credits under their belt. And like, you just like, won't you just ask about them? You know, like how that would be like, they were asking about like, you know, things they heard about in shows. And I was like, to me, I just wanted to simplify it. Like, so like, when did you want to be a performer? You know, things like that. Like,
yeah.
Were there any teachers that like helped you? Like, you know, how are you enjoying the show? What advice would you give to young performers? And the reason why I wanted to do that was because I remember, and this is something like I think is really important, is that I remember the first time I worked with Broadway performers, and I remember like being programmed into thinking that they're these like just these creatures that are not human, you know what I mean? Like there are these things. And then like when I spoke to them, I was like, wow, you you're all normal people. Like, you know what I mean? Even like, I think it is something so silly, like to the point where like, what was like, I want McDonald's. I was like, you like Broadway performers eat McDonald's. You know, it was so silly to me. Like, I looked back and I was like, I was so young and naive, but I just fell with this series. I was like, when I interview Broadway performers, and like the one thing I'm happy with, like young people who read my interviews, they're like, wow, they're like normal people. I'm like, they're just like how I am. And I just love that, like, you know, when you read an interview, you can connect with them. Like, you know, oh yeah, I was auditioning, I had to do all this. And they're like, wow, that's what I'm doing right now. You know what I mean? So it's just, that was just kind of my goal, just to create an interview series with questions that artists would want to answer, if that makes sense. You know?
It does. Yeah. It does, yeah. Because it has happened to me too, that I'm, I don't know, reaching out to this Broadway performer, big Broadway performer. And it actually happened to me yesterday. Because I texted through Instagram Lucy St. Louis, the new Christine Daae from the Phantom UK. And she answered me, and I was like, you're a goddess and you're answering me. Like,
yeah.
And so I understand like this feeling of they are out of reach, out of this world, but yeah, they're just like us.
Yeah, like they're just like us, and they completely get it. They remember life before the equity card. They remember all that stuff, and I think that's just very important when it comes to like teaching younger people when it comes to theater. Like, you know, like it is a tough business, and I think we need to give kids more credit. I think they know it's going to be tough, but like when they see people that like are so well accomplished, but they're still so down to earth and normal. I have yet to come across a mean person during the series. Like, they're always usually so humble and so kind and things like that. So it's just like, yeah, I just think that's really important to, like, you know, if that makes sense. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, 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 I totally agree with you. I want to ask you, you've done a lot. You perform, you direct, you write, you interview, like you do theater journalism.
Yeah.
You have a broad spectrum of experiences throughout the industry. What would be the best advice that you could give a young people that want to enter the industry, the entertainment industry, the showbiz?
The best advice I can give is just to remember your why. And that's something that you have to constantly reinvest in as an artist. Even me, now at the age of 35, you have to remember why you're doing this. And I think, like I said not too long ago, like I think kids are smart enough to know, like young artists are smart enough to know that this is a tough industry. But just because it's tough doesn't mean that it's not possible, you know, and things like that. So like, and like, just because someone else is getting it quickly doesn't mean that like your time is never going to come. And like, just realize, like, yes, there's a competitiveness in our industry, but you don't when you see someone else succeed, don't instantly think about where your career is, because like that's gonna drive you bonkers. That's gonna drive anyone bonkers. So yeah, just remember why you're doing this, why you love it, and just like, you know, realize there's gonna be, you know, some hot and cold times. This is a stubborn business we're in. We just got through a pandemic, you know what I mean? Like, where there were moments where me and my wife Rachel, like I remember, like we were like, this is gonna pass, but like there are moments I'm like, wow, like what's theater gonna look like after, you know what I mean? I'm like, what, like is Broadway gonna be able to remain the same, you know what I mean? Like, so I was like, just remember that, like, you know, everyone has what it takes to make it in this industry. Do not let anyone tell you otherwise.
I love it, and I can just think, going back to this full circle moment in which this director told you that you weren't going to go anywhere in this industry. And years later, you played the same show on that character that you wanted to when you were a kid. And I just love it.
That was a full circle moment for me. And like that was a very, like Bill Sykes, that was a very important moment for me in my career. Because it was a strong reminder that like it is possible. And like, I don't, even with like, you know, and I remember like, I like wrote a little status on Facebook because I was told through a grapevine that like that director felt really bad about saying that to me. So I was like, let's get something clear. I don't want their situation to get messed up because of something they said to me almost 20 years ago. You know what I mean? To me, it was like, you're not going to have a career. Okay. I'll show you that I'm going to have a career. You know what I mean? And I was like, maybe in some ways I should thank them because they motivated me, you know, but like, there's no grudge there with me. But it was just one of those surreal, like, wow. Like before I walk on stage to sing that, like to perform my name, I'm like, wow, it is possible. You know what I mean? Like it's one of those reminders. Cause like, there's times where I say like, you know, I just gave the advice, but I'm like, there's still times where, you know, that little voice gets in your head, but I'm like, wow, it's okay. This is possible. This is great, you know? So, yeah.
I love it. Definitely. Before we close, where can people find you? Where can people contact you, reach out to you?
You can contact me, facebook.com, Kevin Ray Actor. Facebook.com/Kevin Ray Actor. Like, that's literally my Facebook fan page. You can also find me on Instagram at Kevin Ray Actor Blogger Playwright. That's my Instagram handle. Yeah. Just letting everyone know what I do. And if you just want to email me personally when it comes to like, you know, Onstage Blogger, if you feel like you have a story you want to tell or like, you know, want me to feature you, you can contact me at KevinRayJohnson@hotmail.com. Yes, I'm the only one in the world that still uses Hotmail, but it works. If it ain't broke, don't fix it. And yeah, so yeah, those are like the three main ways you can contact me.
I love it. One last question, a surprise question for you.
All right.
Top five favorite musical theater shows.
Top five.
Yes.
Okay. Number one with the bullet is going to probably be Spring Awakening. Next to Normal. Phantom of the Opera. Because that's the show that really got me into it. Phantom of the Opera. Okay, Spring Awakening, Next to Normal, Phantom of the Opera. Mm-hmm. I'm going to say, the Lion King, definitely Lion King. And then the fifth will probably be, the fifth. I'm probably going to I'll probably go with West Side Story. A classic, just because I need to have a Sondheim in there. So West Side Story, Sweeney Todd, tie for fifth. But just some Sondheim. But yeah, those will be my five. Yeah.
I love it. Kevin, thank you so much. Thank you for your words, your wisdom, your advice. I know that you will have an amazing, amazing comeback after the pandemic. And I'm really happy to have you over on the show. Thank you so much.
You are too kind. Thank you so much.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to this new episode of Backstage Talk. Remember to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Backstage Talk Podcast.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.